All right, Tabo said, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Pei Beis. We are starting on Pei Beis. And we're picking up at the two dots, six lines down from the top. So we'll say it's an interesting, beautiful Gemara today. So remember again, in the situation where the Mishnah was discussing, where I sell two trees to Reuven. So remember again, when the Machlokes in the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir, as to whether or not you acquire land with those two trees. So the Kashtos, again, according to the Tanakama, one does not acquire land. Now the interesting part, because one does not acquire land, if the branches, I've sold the trees to Reuven, if Reuven's branches extend onto my ground, meaning overshadow my crop, I do not have the right, the ability to cut back those branches. Since Reuven does not have land of his own in this transaction, therefore, by definition, again, I almost yield or cede some of the basic use of my property in order to go ahead and accommodate the growth of Reuven's branches. So the Gemara asks, furthermore, the Mishnah went on to say the following. Anything that comes from the trunk of the tree belongs to Reuven, the owner of the tree. But anything that comes from the roots of the tree belongs to me, the owner of the earth. So says the Gemara, well, what's the case? How do you determine what's coming from the trunk versus how do you determine what's coming from the roots? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol sheru'a p'nei chama, zel min ha-geza, v'chol she'in ru'a p'nei chama, zel min ha-sharashim. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to have a very simple idea. He says, look, if what's growing could see the sun, then it's part of the trunk. If it can't see the sun, then it's part of the roots, which is another way of saying what? Anything above ground is called part of the trunk. Anything below ground is called part of the roots. Okay, not all that complicated. So let's listen to this. V'lechosh dilma maska ara sirtin, v'amrle tlasa zabintali, v'islay ara. So let's listen to this concern. Says the Gemara, Biochanan, why aren't you concerned that perhaps what will happen, something's going to grow out of the trunk, then over time there's going to be a soil buildup. I don't know, there must be a more technical term for it, where the soil level's going up. There's a soil buildup, and that which began looking like, Michelle, thank you, that which began looking like an extension from the trunk will over time, because the soil buildup, look like what? Its own self-standing tree. And then Reuven's going to come back to me, he's going to say, Silber, you didn't just sell me two trees, but rather what? You sold me three trees, and now I am entitled to the accompanying earth as well. To which the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Nachman, Yakutz. So therefore, Rabbi said, Rav Nachman comes along and says that in reality, when I sell Reuven two trees, he has an obligation to cut down that which grows from the trunk in order to avoid any future possibility of him claiming that which protrudes from the trunk because the soil buildup is in fact a third tree. Take a look at the Rashbam. It's the last short line in the Rashbam. Amar Rav Nachman Yakutz. Mas nisin detonei yotzi min hageza shalo. Lo sheyanichenu kach v'yigdal. Ela hariu shalo amanas laktzos v'litzrov. So it says in reality again, says Rav Nachman, that what's the halacha? The halacha is that lamaisa, again, when I saw those two trees to Reuven, the halacha is that you have to go, Reuven has to cut down anything that grows from the trunk in order to avoid any type of possibility that over time he will be able to claim that is a third tree and therefore be entitled to additional land. The chinam of Rabbi Yochanan Yakutz. Rabbi Yochanan also said that when you go ahead and you sell, if I were to sell Reuven two trees, he has an obligation to cut down anything that grows from the trunk. Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman come along and said, Naktinon we learned, Dekel ein lo geza. Rabbi Yochanan, this is a very strange statement. Rav Nachman says, a Dekel, a date palm, does not have a trunk. Now, obviously, that statement has to be understood in a different way, because a date palm, of course, does have a trunk. So what does it mean when he says a date palm doesn't have a trunk? Look at the Rashbam. Ein lo, third wide line, ein lo, hayotze min ha-geza lebal ha-dekel, techeven delachpor ulesharishkai kishiyavash ha-ilon, daha lo kana karkas. Also, listen to this. So the Gemara suggests the following. So Rav Nachman says, Deka ein lo geza, which means I will say the following. That halacha lemaisa again, that if I sell two palm trees to Reuven, so the halacha is, or actually we're going to say any number of palm trees, the halacha is that Reuven is not entitled to any of the protrusions, or that which grows from the trunk. What's the pshat? Savar Rav Zavid Lemeimar, Ein lo geza lebal dekel. So Rav Zavid thought that this meant to say that the owner of the date palm is not entitled to anything that grows from the trunk. Why? Listen to this. Dechevan de le michpar u le sharish koi asuche masech daite. Because since at the end of the day, we'll say the nature of a date palm is such, the nature of a date palm is such that it dies. Remember again, a date palm is one of those trees that does not regenerate. Because it doesn't regenerate, therefore what? We'll just translate the words and we'll see what it means in the Rashbam. So the Chayvan, the Lemichbar, the Sharish, since at some point in time it's going to die, and it's going to have to be uprooted, Asuche Mesech Daite. A person removes his das from this tree. Now take a look at the Rashbam. What does this mean? Asuche Mesech Daite. Baldekel min ha'asid latzeis min ha'geza. Ultimately, again, the owner of the palm tree goes ahead and removes his das. Can you help Shachar just find the place? So the ultimately the owner of the deckel, the owner of the palm tree, goes ahead and removes himself from any future das of acquiring anything from here. The savarhu shema yave shadekel mehira v'lo yotzi geza. So the Gemara suggests the following. Rav Zvid wants to suggest the following. The difference with the palm tree, Rabosai, is that once a palm tree dries up, it dies. So pretty much when you buy a palm tree, the goal of the palm tree is you maximize your early returns. In other words, you get whatever you can get out of this palm tree, recognizing that the shelf life is limited. Therefore, in general, when stuff grows out of the trunk of your palm tree, if you're the owner of the palm tree, what's your relationship towards those growths? You don't really care about them all that much. Why? Because first of all, again, you realize that some point in time your palm tree is going to dry up and die. What you're going to get is going to be really from the fruit on the top and not from anything from that which grows from the trunk. Therefore, in general, if I'm the owner of the palm tree, generally I don't have any das to really acquire anything that grows from the trunk itself because it's meaningless to me. Therefore, asuche mesach daite. I essentially remove my das from those growths. So, maske for Rabbaba. So Rabbaba said, 1 second. V'ha kone shnei ilanos de lemichbar ulemesharish kaimi. Yet Rabbaba say, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if you acquire two date palms, right? If you acquire two date palms, we're going to say, we're assuming now, remember, if you just acquire date palms and you are not acquiring the earth in which those palms are planted, then what? Then although it is true that you acquire the date palms, you have a very limited usage, because once those date palms die, that's it, you're done. The owner of the land has the right to tell you, dig up the stump, and you're out. Yet what did the Mishnah say? V'katani d'yesh lo geza. Yet the Mishnah said that I, the owner of the date palms, am entitled to that which grows from the trunk. Which would seem to indicate that what? That which grows from the trunk is meaningful to the owner of the date palms. To which the Gemara says, Ela Amara Papa, Ein lo geza lebal dekel, lefi sha'in motzi geza. Rather, I will say what Rav Papa said is, what does it mean? What does it mean that the owner of the date palm doesn't really own or doesn't have any claim on the protrusions from the trunk? It means that a date palm, I will say, doesn't normally have protrusions from its trunk. Take a look at the Rashbam. La lefi sha'in derech. This is actually quite interesting. So Rav Papa comes along, and this is true if you think about it, right? If you see palm trees, right? You see date palms in Eretz Yisrael. If you'll notice again, it's very rare to ever see stuff growing out of the side of those trees. Right? People say, you have a tree in your backyard, so often, again, I don't know what kind of trees are indigenous to North America, but whatever it is, who cares? It's gold, right? Right? So right, you go ahead, right? You walk outside, and the truth is there's stuff growing all over the place from these trees. I mean, this is not a raya. This is not a raya. Although Wina Landscaping does an excellent job on our property. Right? So again, but you see, if you look at a date palm, it's interesting the way that it grows. You'll never see a branch growing out of the trunk of a date palm. A date palm, again, has its trunk, which is long and narrow, and anything that grows only grows from the top. It's really quite amazing. That's the thing I was talking about here. So Rav Papa says, no, When we saw ein lo gezel lebaladek elaf ishein amotzi gezel, Rav Papa says what it means is when we're saying over here that if I own the date palms, I don't own anything that comes from the trunk. It's not a choshen mishpat din. It's a horticultural din, right? What we're saying over here, it's a botanical din. What we're saying over here is that date palms do not go ahead and extend branches from the trunk. It's just the way they grow. I ulu Rav Zivid kashem as nisim. But what does Rav Zivid do with it? We'll say here's the problem. The problem is Rav Zivid is of the opinion that date palms do extend things, or things do grow from the trunks. So what ultimately, again, does Rav Zivid do with the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, Dizabin l'chamishnin. No. The way we're setting up the Mishnah Rabosai is what? Is as a situation where I sold Reuven trees for 5 years. Rabosai, now if you sell someone trees for 5 years, then what's the halacha? The halacha ultimately is, Rabosai, that even if those trees die, the owner of those trees has the right to what? Replant new ones. Because essentially, if you were sold something for 5 years, what you were sold is you sold those trees, and any rights to replant something new in that same space should the original trees die. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Even if the original tree dies, I reserve the right, the owner of the trees reserves the right to plant something new in its place. In the case where ultimately, again, I own those trees for 5 years, then I don't have hesach hadas on anything that grows from the trunk. So essentially, there are two different ways of understanding the statement of the Mishnah. We can either understand the approach that ultimately the palm trees do not go ahead and extend anything from the trunks, and that's why again they're asuche masich adayt. A person has no das on it. Or even if you want to say that lamaisa, the palm tree does extend something from the trunk, and it could also just be a din in different types of palms. So we'll say, so when do we say that there's hesach adas about that which grows from the trunks? That's only when I bought it for a much shorter amount of time. Then my focus is on the fruit that ultimately the palm tree could produce. But if I bought the trees for a longer period of time, so I'm going to hold them for a couple of years, then I have das to not only acquire the fruit, but anything that grows from the trunks as well. Fine. Kana shlosha kana karko. So let's remember again, now we transition to the second part of the Mishnah. In the second part of the Mishnah, we say now that if you acquire three trees, you not only acquire the trees, but you also acquire the land in between the trees and around the trees. To which the Gemara asks, v'kama. So we'll say, now v'kama means, sunu, how much land do you actually acquire? Meaning, the land between the trees, I understand that's quantifiable. What about the land around the trees as well? Meaning, how much land in total have I acquired when I get three trees? So first of all, you've acquired the areas underneath the trees. You've acquired the area between the trees. The chutzalahen, you've acquired the area outside of the trees. Amud beis kimale ora visalo. We'll say the amount of space that is necessary for someone to walk around there with a basket in his hand to go ahead and collect the fruit that has fallen. So again, I've acquired three trees. The Gemara says, what's the amount of space that I've acquired? The areas underneath the trees, the areas in between. Because we'll say when we speak about acquiring three trees, the assumption is that there's proximity, right? You're acquiring three trees in proximity to each other. So I acquire the area underneath the trees, the area in between the trees, and the area outside of the trees. How much of the area outside of the trees? Enough space to walk around with my basket and acquire any fruit that has fallen off the trees. Maskifla, Rabbi Lozer. So Rabbi Lozer says, 1 second. Hashta derech einlo, ora visalo yeshlo. Supposed to listen to this. Remember, going back to our previous sugya, someone had raised this after the shir as well. When I purchase, let's say I'm purchasing three trees from Reuven. So now what's the halacha? I acquire property with those trees. I acquire karka. Now we're saying again, area underneath, area in between, area outside of the trees as well. There's only one problem, which is where are these trees situated? I own the karka upon which they're situated, but they're situated where? In Reuven's field. So remember, we discussed the whole sugya about access. Right? In general, again, it's very nice. I own the karka. Only one issue, which is I don't necessarily have the ability to access it. So Gemara says, let me get this straight. You're telling me now that when I purchase three trees from Reuven, I understand I own the areas underneath the trees. I own the areas in between the trees. Now you're telling me I also own a ring of land around the trees, but yet I own no access to the trees. Now what the Gemara's kasha is the following is, area underneath and between the trees I understand. Area around the trees seems to be a bit much, because if at the end of the day I'm not being given lemaisa access, I mean, I'm not automatically granted access, why would I be granted the ring around the trees? To which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, derech einlo da'ara achrisihi ora v'salo yeshlo. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference, I will say. Ultimately, again, the derech doesn't, the reason access is a separate and distinct discussion of Osai is why? Because lemaisa, again, that access requires me to traverse someone else's land. The ring around the trees is part and parcel of the actual parcel. It's part of the parcel that lemaisa I have acquired ultimately from Reuven. Amar Rav Zera, so Rav Zera said, Medivei Rabbeinu, nilmad, so from the words of, from the words of Rabbeinu, we can learn three things. We can learn three things. So what are they? So the Gemara, I'm sorry, I should say it differently. Mediv Rabbeinu Nilmad. Shloshu de'in lo derech, hashnayim yeshlo. So what we can learn is the following. That with three trees does not automatically convey to the purchaser of the trees derech, right of way. Yet, interestingly enough, shnayim, if you purchase two trees, you do get the right of way. Take a look at the Rashbam. Medivei Rabbeinu, Rabbi Elazar Shapiro Ishtama Mishum Da'ara Achrisihi, Hashnayim Yishlo Derech Daha Ein Lo Karka. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. So we're suggesting the following. From Rabbi Elazar, we can learn the following. That if you purchase, Rabbi Elazar, if you purchase three trees, that's when, although you are conveyed land, you do not get a derech. You are not conveyed automatic right of way in Reuven's field. Yet, if you only purchase two trees, because you do not get land, you do get right of way. Now, both saying, now the logic behind that is the following. This actually goes back to what we saw in the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah where if I purchase two trees, and what happens? My branches overgrow, and they extend over Reuven's field. What's the halacha? Reuven is not permitted to cut back my branches. Yet if I buy three trees and own the land and my branches grow onto Reuven's field, then what? I am permitted to cut back the branches. What's the Chiluk Rabbo say? Because if I'm purchasing two trees and I don't have land, it's inherent, it's understood in that sale that Reuven, the seller, has to accommodate my trees in certain ways. Masha'in came when he's selling me three trees, he's effectively selling me a field. Once he sells me a field, he tells me what? Okay, you're on your own. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. So if your trees extend onto my field, I'm cutting the back. Same thing with right of way. If I'm buying three trees and a field, so then what? Reuven says, so you feel, leave me alone. You want right of way? That's a separate negotiation. We could talk about that. When I go ahead and I purchase two trees, then Rabbi says, I'm not buying a field. I'm buying trees that are situated on Reuven's field. It's understood that Reuven needs to make accommodations for me to be able to access my trees. Very interesting. So the Gemara says, so what's that? Because when I purchase two trees, ultimately, again, I can say, Reuven, you have to give me a right of way because essentially I'm a tenant. I'm a tenant. I'm renting space for my trees from you. So because of that, you have an obligation to give me a right of way. So we'll say, see, it's very interesting. It's almost like the stronger and more solidified my purchase is, the less rights I have on Reuven. Right? So if I'm buying two trees, essentially, I'm a tenant on his land. If I'm a tenant, he needs to accommodate the overgrowth of my branches, and he needs to give me a right of way. If I'm purchasing three fields, I'm not a tenant. Three trees, I'm not a tenant. What am I? What am I? I'm a purchaser. I own a field within his field. If I'm a field within his field, I am a landowner. If I'm a landowner, he has the right to tell me, go figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, then yes, we could negotiate about purchasing a right of way. It's really very interesting. So much to follow. I'm going to read Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Lurava. So Nachum Bar Yitzchak says to Rava, Leima, Rebbe Lozer, Les Le De Shmuel. So we'll say, it must be that Rebbe Lozer does not hold of Shmuel, his Rebbe. Why? What does Shmuel say? Damer Shmuel, Halocha K'Rabbi Akiva, Damer Mocher Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher. So listen to this. So it must be that Rebbe Lozer, now remember again, it must be Rabbi Elazar is the one who's saying that Lamaisa, again, that when you purchase two trees, so Shruvain, the landowner, is obligated to accommodate me. When I purchase three trees, then Lamaisa, what? I'm a landowner. Reuven is not obligated to accommodate me at all. It must be, so Gemara now suggests that Rabbi Elazar does not hold like Shmuel, his Rebbe. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds the Amar, Mocher Ba'ayin, Yafe Mocher. Because we'll say, if that's the case, then what? Then even when I'm purchasing three trees, what should be the halacha? I should get a right of way, because ultimately, again, every sale is done with Ayin Yafe. Every single sale is done in a way that benefits the purchaser. Amarle lomatukma masnisin de Rabbi Akiva. So the truth is, he says, you're right, you cannot set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. To which the Gemara says, Mimai, why not? Me diktani higdilu yishpe, because Rabbi say, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that if I purchase three trees from Reuven, and then what? My branches overhang, right? They extend over Reuven's field, causing shade, which adversely affects his crops. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? The halacha is that Reuven has the right to cut back the branches. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, v'isak daitcha Rabbi Akiva hi. Now, if you want to say Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, amai yishpe, Rabbi Osai, why should Reuven be permitted to cut back the branches? After all, ha'omer, mocher be'ayin yofe mocher. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Osai, is the one who says that whenever you sell property, you always do so in a way that is positive, in a way that is beneficial, ultimately, for who? For the purchaser. If that's the case, that even when Reuven is selling me three trees, that should be with the inherent right, that even if my branches overhang Reuven's property, Reuven's not going to cut it back. The fact that the Mishnah gives Reuven the right to cut back my overgrown branches tells that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva, to which the Gemara says, no. Amarle, Amar to Rabbi Akiva, when does Rabbi Akiva say, Mocher, Bayin, Yofa Mocher, that's Gabi Bar Vidus, we'll say, when does Rabbi Akiva say that mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher? That ultimately, again, when a seller sells property, he does so with the benefit of the purchaser in mind. We'll say, that's in cases like with the pit and the cistern. Where the seller's sale of the property to the purchaser does not in any way adversely impact the seller. So we'll say, listen to this. What it means is the following. If I'm going ahead, take a look at the Rashban. The Rashban says, Dol mechach shi'ara, lo habar ve lo haderech, sha'anu nostim lo, hilchach ba'in yafa zav yoladech. We'll say, when does Rabbi Akiva say, mocher ba'in yafa mocher? When does Rabbi Akiva say that when you sell property to another, the seller does so in an expansive fashion, benefiting the purchaser? That's when there is no disadvantage to the seller. So for example, if I'm selling Reuven a bar, so again, I give him the bar, I sell him the bar, I also sell him the right of way. Why, Abu Sai? Because at the end of the day, there is no disadvantage to me. However,
what's the difference by a bar versus a tree?
Oh, Gabe Ilon, Mishamse. Abu Sai, the tree, remember, again, does have a disadvantage. What's the disadvantage of the tree? Look at Rashbam. Gabe Ilon, mi Amar Bitmiya. We'll say, a tree could put a seller at an incredible disadvantage. How so? Well, one example is, as we just said, which is if the branches overgrow. If Reuven sells me his tree, and my branches grow, they extend out, and they overshadow his crops, blocking out the sunlight, that puts Reuven, the seller, at an objective disadvantage. Or, as we'll see later on, if the branches grow low, that impede the ability of my ox with the plow to come and plow the field, that puts me at a disadvantage. So what's what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. When does Rabbi Akiva say, Mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher? We saw this before. But when does Rabbi Akiva say that a seller sells in the most expansive, purchaser-beneficial way possible, that's only when the seller is not put at a disadvantage. But if the seller is put at a disadvantage, the seller says, listen, I need to preserve my interests. That's even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, Mocher ba'an yava mocher, Rabbi Akiva would agree that if I sell Reuven my tree, and the branches begin to overshadow my crops, blocking my sunlight, even according to Rabbi Akiva, I have the right to what? Cut back those branches. I will say it's an incredible yisod. So an incredible yisod. That's what? That people are happy. We assume, Rabbi Akiva assumes, human nature is such, I am happy to do something objectively beneficial for another. I'm happy to do it. As long as what? As long as what? It does not adversely impact me. This is an incredible yisod. But as soon as something adversely impacts me, my willingness to be a selfless Baal Chesed like that is limited. And I will say, by the way, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, there's a concept of chayechakum, a person has to look out for their interests. So I'm happy to help you out as long as helping you out and giving you the best deal possible does not adversely impact me. But the moment that your benefit comes at my detriment, I'm sorry, I'm simply not willing to do that. So the Gemara says the following: Mila mod Rabbi Akiva be'ilan anotz l'soch sadeh chaveiro shekotzitz mulo maradei me'alach harisho. So even Rabbi Akiva would agree that l'maisa, if I saw Reuven a tree, and then those branches begin extending into my field in a way that block the ox from taking the plow, that I could cut back those trees. Taya kavasei d'Rabchia. So we have a brayso, that's the first of Chia. Remember again, Rabchia is the one who Amar Aleph said that Rabbi say, when you sell, if I sell three trees to Reuven, I've sold him what? The land underneath the trees, the land between the trees, and the circle of land around the trees. So you have a brace now that supports Rabchia. The Brisa says that when you sell three trees to someone, the purchaser has acquired the land underneath the trees, the land between the trees, and the ring around the trees. The ring that's large enough for me to take my basket and collect all the fruit that has fallen. I'm led by the Rav Yosef. So Abai says Rav Yosef, Osa Ora Visalo Mizoron. Here's an interesting question. So now what we've said is the following. Let's take as halacha l'maisa that if I sell Reuven three trees, Reuven has acquired what? The trees, the land underneath the trees, the land between the trees, and what? The circle around the trees, large enough to be able to go in and carry the basket in order to collect the fruit that has fallen. So here's the interesting shayla. Who has the right to plant that ring? Who has the right to plant that ring? Which I will say, what's the real kasha that's being asked over here? When we say that Reuven, the purchaser, gets that ring, is it that he has title to that ring? Or is it that what? He has usage of that ring, but I, the landowner, really retain title to that ring. That's the Oshayla. And that's manifest in who has the right to plant that ring. Amrle Tinisuos. He said, we learned it. Hachitzon Zorea Es Haderech. So I'll say, we learned this elsewhere, which is what? This is a case of Osei, if you can imagine, Reuven has a field, and Shimon has a field within Reuven's field. So now again, Shimon obviously needs access to his field through Reuven's field. So Shimon has a derech, Shimon has a path. So what's the halacha? The Braisa says, who gets to seed that path? Hachitzon Zoras HaDerech. The guy on the outside, i.e. Reuven, has the right to seed the path. Which Rabbosai sounds like what? The outer person, retains the right to seed what we'll call the functional path. So in this case over here also, I sold my trees to three trees to Reuven. Reuven owns the land underneath the trees, between the trees, and the ring around. But I, the landowner, have the right to see the ring around. Amarle midarech, you compare it. Hasam lesle psida lalokeach. So we'll say there, in that case, there is no loss. Ultimately, again, to the purchaser. Look at the Rashbam. Hasam lesle psida lokeach. Lebal hagina haprimis. Sheyidros yafe kishiyitztarech hazirav shalzeh. So we'll say, so there is no loss to Shimon, the inner garden owner, if Reuven seeds that path. However, again, hacha islip seed lokeach. We'll say here, if I go ahead and I seed the ring, we'll call it. If I seed the ring, there is a loss to Reuven. How is there a loss to Reuven? Do amrle kamit nefi perish. So we'll say, remember again, what the Gemara is suggesting is there's difference in those paths. In the other case, where Shimon has the chatra on the inside, Reuven has the chatra on the outside. Shimon has a path that he's permitted to traverse in order to get to his inside chatzer. So now we're saying that what? I, the outside owner, have the right to seed that path. That's not a big deal. Why? Because there's no loss there to Shimon. On the other hand, the case with the ring, there is a potential loss to Reuven if I get to seed the ring. What's the loss? The Amarle Kamit Nefi Peri. Reuven could say to me, you're ruining my pears. Because if I say, remember again, what happens on that ring? What's the point of that ring? Whatever, what happens on that ring? Fruit falls off there. If I've seeded the area, if I've seeded the ring, then I will say, what does that mean? That means there's dirt. That means there's mud. That means that when the fruit falls down, what happens? The fruit gets dirty. If the fruit gets dirty, the first fruit could be ruined. So Reuven could say back to me, listen, Silber, even if you have title to that ring, at the end of the day, your act of planting or seeding that ring could cause me a significant loss. Halo dami al seifa. This case of us that could only be compared to the seifa. What's the seifa? Zeva ze inon rishon lezora. So look at Rashban. Halo damya. Had ura v'salo lo dami el l'seifa dahi diktani nasnu lo beiz din derech min atzad midas shnehen ze v'ze in rasha in l'zora. So we'll say, so the Gemara suggests we're going to see this Mishnah later on, but this is compared to this part, second part, to the seifa, where the Mishnah talks about a case ultimately again of where beiz din gives the inner chatzar a rite of passage through the outer chatzar, but gives him a side path. This is comparable to a case of where Beis Din ultimately awards a path to the inner chatzer, but tells the inner chatzer you can only use the path along the side of the outer chatzer, so as to minimize your traffic upon the outer chatzer. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, ultimately, again, this is compared to the seifa of that Mishnah, and therefore, both what the Gemara seems to be suggesting is the following. It's quite dramatic. Who gets to seed the ring? And the answer is, no one. No one. That to a certain degree, that remains a little bit of no man's land. Neither of them have the right to seed that ring. Tanya kavase da baye. We have a brace that supports a baye. Harize kana tachteyen. Ubenayan Vuchutzalan Kemali Ora Vesalo Vize Vize Ain Rashan Lazora. And I will say, this indeed is Halacha L'maisa. If I sell three trees to Reuven, the way we pass from Abbas is that Reuven acquires the karka. How much karka does he acquire? And the answer is he acquires the karka underneath the trees, the karka between the trees, and the ring around the trees. But no one has the right to plant or the right to seed that area around the trees. That indeed is halacha lemaisa. Says the Gemara, v'kami ye b'nei. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So now we have to define something that's very important. We've established now that when you purchase three trees, you get the areas underneath the trees as well as the areas between the trees. The next shayla we're going to have to deal with, we'll say, is what's the maximum and minimum space between trees in order for them to be considered a cohesive unit? In other words, we're operating under the assumption that these three trees have proximity. So the shaila now is, how do we define proximity? What is the minimum? Meaning, in other words, we'll say, obviously, if they're too crowded together, then you don't get any karka. But if they're too far apart, then they can't be considered one unit. So what's the closest and what's the furthest that ultimately they could be? Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says over here, he says, V'kam yehe b'nehen. How much space is there between the trees that you could say that you've acquired all the land in between them? Well, so here's what's interesting. If trees are planted too close together, they're considered to be, listen to this wording, kiyar, like a forest that remains to be uprooted, which Rabbi said we would call what? What's a forest that's going to be uprooted? Yossi, you need to know this stuff. Right? The forest that's going to be uprooted is called the nursery. It's called the nursery. Yes, yes, a nursery. People don't...
I'm sorry, I'm not getting
into it. You know less about this than I do. Right? Let's be honest, right? At the end of the day, what's a nursery, right? A nursery is where people are growing a bunch of trees. But again, the idea of it is that what? They're going to be uprooted and planted. That's what's on a serious note. If you've ever seen nurseries, you'll notice again, they're very densely planted. Because the idea is they're not there long term. I mean, under normal circumstances, if something is going to remain there for a long time, you can't plant things densely. Or at least trees you can't plant densely. Why? because the roots are nispashet. If on the other hand, all you're running is a nursery, so lamais, again, they can be planted very densely together, because again, relatively shortly, they're going to be uprooted and replanted somewhere else. So as here's what the Gemara is saying. If lamais, you have a situation where the trees are planted very closely together, you can't tell me that you acquire karka, because lamais, that's called, the Gemara calls that a ya'ar ha'omed litolish, a forest that's going to be uprooted, which means a nursery. So the Gemara says, "Hamitash velo chashivi v'mrachokim nami yosim de'alom itztarfi." And if the two Shabbos say this is interesting, if it's too close together, you don't acquire karka because that's called the nursery. If they're too far apart, then they're simply not mitztarfi. If they don't combine, so what's the magical number? V'kamiyeh b'nei Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yosef says name Rav Yehuda says name Shmuel. Me'arba amos ad shmona. So both say four amos is the minimum. 8 amos is the maximum. So the trees require at least dalit amos of seis from one another, but it can have no more than 8 amos from each other. Rava Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishmona Vad Sheshesrei. So both say Rav Nachman, Rava says the name of Rav Nachman, 8 amos is the minimum, 16 amos is the maximum. Amar Le Abaye the Rav Yosef. So Abaye says Rav Yosef, Lo Siflok Aleid Rav Nachman, don't argue Rav Nachman. This nan masnis and kavase, because Rav Nachman has a Mishnah that supports him. This nan hanoteas karmo sheshesrei amo. Mostly, listen to this. The Mishnah is the following: if you plant a vineyard, 16 amos, 6 amos. So what this actually means is the following: what it means is that between each row of vines are 16 amos. So what's the halacha? Mutar lahavi zar l'sham. The halacha is that you can't plant kilayim, right? You can't plant grain in proximity, ultimately, again, to vines. What the Mishnah is saying over here, Abosai, is that what? Is that halacha lemaisa, again, that if you have vines that are 16 amos away from each other, Abosai, then what? They are not mitztaref. They do not combine to form a vineyard. Because they do not combine to form a vineyard, then what? Then you could plant grain in proximity to those vines as well, and there's no din of klai akerem. In order to have a problem with klai akerem, right, a forbidden mixtures within a vineyard, you have to first have what? A vineyard. And the definition of a vineyard, Avos, according to Rav Nachman, requires that vines be planted within a proximity of 16 amos to one another. But if the vines are 16 amos or more apart from each other, then they are not a vineyard. If they're not a vineyard, there's no problem of klai akerem. So you see from here that what? That in order for items to be mitzayif to one another, they must be within a distance of 16 amos of each other. So says the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda, Maisa Bet Salmon. So the Gemara just brings a Maisa to support this. There was an episode in Salmon, Be'echad Shenata Es Karmo Sheshesvei Amo, of an individual when he had implanted his vineyard, and we were about to say that the vines were 16 amos away from each other. Vayahofech Shar Shtei Shuros Litzad Echad Vizorea, Esanir, L'Shar Acheras Hayahofech Es Ashar L'Mokom Azera Vizera Es Habar. So we'll say, without getting into technicalities in this case, what he used to do was the following. He had a vineyard that had vines more than 16 amos from each other. Different years, he would position the vines in different ways, and the idea is the middle part, he would plant. In other words, he would plant one middle part, which is the area in between the vines, in different years. One year he would leave, if you can imagine this A, B, and C, one year he would leave one part fallow and plant, the other one, the next year he would leave that part fallow and plant, the other one, Uba Masef Necham Vitiro. Bosei, the point of this entire Maisa is what? That the maximum space you could have between vines, I should say, if vines are 16 amos apart, then what? What's the takeaway message? It's not a vineyard. They're both saying that the purpose for us is Rav Nachman's statement, which is that if you have trees from 8 amos to 16 amos, they're mitztaref. But once the trees are more than 16 amos apart, then what? They're no longer mitztaref. If they're no longer mitztaref, Rav Nachman, then even if I buy 3 trees, I do not acquire the land in between them.
We're equating trees and vines?
Correct. Well, we're equating distance. We're saying distance now. We're saying that distance is distance, and 16 amos is the amount, is the space that says these two items are connected. Once you're more than 16 amos, you're no longer connected. Because again, the logic being is, if it works for vines, it should work for trees. Because Lamaisa, vines are even stronger. Because what it's saying is, vines within 16 amos or less are a vineyard, are connected. So you tell me that's the shear to connect unconnected, disconnected items. More than that, it's not connected.
What if you have, let's say, a tree, let's say it's on over here, there's eight, let's say there's zero, okay? You have eight amos away, that's a tree, so it's kosher. And then you have eight amos away from the middle tree over here.
That's fine, it's within each other.
But it, then the radius around it, would that be 16?
It's one tree to the next. As long as the tree, each tree is within eight amos of each other, that's fine.
What I'm saying is, the land that you would own, would it, because it's the radius around, I mean, it's the diameter, and then you take the area around it. So it's a circle. And so it'd be 16, it'd be... You have eight,
we'll see about the ring. We'll see. Says the Gemara. Amar le ana lo yadana ela uvdahava. So he said, I don't know anything about this 16 amos, but I could tell you about an episode top of Pei Gimel that happened bedura dira usa. I want to tell you about an episode that happened in the village of the shepherds. So I said, look at the Rashban for just a moment. Bedura dira usa, this is literally the name of the place. It was the village of the shepherds. Be'ir shal roim, shemachar echa lechaveiro shal l'shilinan. So let's listen to this. So what happened in the village of the shepherds? So Reuven sold Shimon three trees. Va'asu lekamei, the Rav Yehuda. And what happens? They came before Rav Yehuda. Amar lei, and Rav Yehuda said, zil havlei kimalei bakar v'kelov. Go ahead and give this individual, in other words, Reuven sold to Shimon. So he said, Reuven, give to Shimon the amount of space necessary for the cattle to take the plow. I did not know how much space this was. Now look at the Rashban for just a moment. The Rashban says, Be'ir shalom, shemachar echalachaveir shalosh ilanos, v'lo haya ches amos b'neihem. Now the case over here was that in this case there was not eight amos of space in between the trees. Now understand, in Rav Nachman's model, if there's less than eight amos, then what? Then Rabbi say that's considered a nursery. If it's a nursery, then what? Then halacha lamaisa again, you don't get the land in between the trees. So says the Gemara. So now he's saying over here, I don't know about the eight amos, but I can tell you about a story. A story that happened over here in the village, in the village of shepherds, where Reuven sold three trees to Shimon. And now the shaila was, does Shimon have the land in between the trees? Rav Yehuda said to Reuven, Reuven, give Shimon the amount of space between the trees necessary for the ox to go through with its plow. V'lo havi yedana kimali bakar v'kelo. I did not know how large that space is. Kevan d'shamis leha disnan. But once I heard that, which was written in the Mishnah, lo yita adam ilan samach l'sad chaveiro, el imkein herchik mimenu dalet amos. But then I learned in the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? That a person should not plant a tree next to the field of his friend, unless, of course, he distanced it, a distance of dalet amos. V'tani Allah, and I will say, what do we say about dalet amos? Dalet amos she'amru, k'dei avodas hakerem. Why dalet amos? Because dalet amos is the minimum amount necessary to work a vineyard, which seems to be the amount that was necessary for an axe to go through with its plow. Amina, shmamina, kimale, bakar, v'kelov, dalet amos. I learned from here that what? That the amount of space, ultimately, again, for a cow to go through with its plow is dalet amos. So what's happening over here? So remember again, so this is Rav Yosef responding back. So remember, what's happening? We have Machlokis, Rav Yosef, and Rava. Right? Rav Yosef says that the minimum amount of distance between trees is dalet amos, and the maximum is eight, in order for you to acquire the area underneath and between, and we'll leave it around the trees for now. Rava comes along and says, Rav Nachman, no, the minimum is eight, maximum is 16. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, don't argue on Rav Nachman. Don't argue Rav Nachman, because again, Rav Nachman has a Mishnah that supports him. What's the Mishnah that supports Rav Nachman? The Mishnah that supports him is the Mishnah by the vineyard. That by the vineyard, Rav Osai, it's clear that what? The maximum amount of space, or I should say the amount of space between vines, that prevents them from combining into what? That prevents them from combining into a vineyard is how much? 16 amos. Six amos. So you see from here that as long as the vines are less than 16 amos from each other, they form a vineyard. So too, as long as the trees are less than 16 amos, they are a cohesive unit, and you acquire the amount of space in between and underneath the trees. To which Rav Yosef responds, Abaye, I'm going to be honest. I don't know anything about the Mishnah by the vines. What I do know is about an episode that happened in the shepherd's village. And what happened in the shepherd's village, that Rav Yehuda instructed that if there is at least four amos in between the trees, that the area underneath the trees and between the trees ultimately goes to the purchaser. So what Rav Yosef Abosei is responding is, to Abaye, I appreciate that Rav Nachman has a Mishnah, but I also have an Uvda. I have a Maisa that occurred with Rav Yehuda. Therefore, I feel my opinion is authoritative as well. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today, but understand that we're leaving off the machlokes, a fundamental machlokes, as to what is the minimum, maximum space between trees in order for the purchaser to acquire the space underneath and between the trees. We have Rav Yosef saying in the name of Shmuel, minimum is 4 amos, maximum is 8 amos. We have Rava saying in the name of Nachman that minimum is 8 amos, maximum is 16 amos. And then Yerzah Hashem will continue with that machlokes and resolve it tomorrow.